The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
On Exploring the Word, we want to equip saints not only to know the Word, but do the Word. There's a passage in the book of James that says, don't just be hearers, but be doers. And today is really a good example of that, what we're studying. This is a pre-recorded program, so we will not be taking calls at the end of the program. And we have our two pinch hitters in with me today. When Alex can't do it or I can't do it, and the guys that take turns is Jim Stanley and Wesley Wildman. And so today we've got both of you guys in the studio.
Well, you know, I think about our audience, and when you said to tell them it's a pre-record, not to call in, we do have people that have us on speed dial. So you do have to put that out there, because we have a great listening audience.
We do. Let me do this. I love to do it when Jim is involved in the program. I hand the ball off and let him carry it as the quarterback the rest of the way. I enjoy doing that. You've been doing it for years, and I had never done anything like radio except just be a guest, right, and doing it rather than being the host of one when I came on board about, believe it or not, 6 years ago, guys.
It's been that long?
Yeah, it's been that long since I've been doing Exploring the Word with Alex.
But and every year gets good. Better.
Amen. Yeah. But I enjoy it when you're in and I'm handing the ball off. Here's the ball, Jim.
Right.
Take it.
We miss Alex today. And in fact, we kind of had a little coup and in the office this morning as we were talking about what we wanted to do. Pardon me, as you are getting ready to celebrate your new year and have just concluded celebrating your Christmas, what we're going to do is we're going to take these 3 days and we're going to use this as a different time of different programming. Now, today we're going to talk about SHAPE, S-H-A-P-E, and that's an acrostic that Brother Bert came up with. We're going to talk about spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experience. Those are going to be the things we cover today. Now, tomorrow, we're going to talk about restoration.
Amen.
And we're going to talk about the time, as Brother Bert likes to say, we look back in the Old Testament, and it talks about what the locusts and the cankerworm has devoured, and then how that's been restored by God. And we are to be restored people. Amen?
That's good news.
That is good news.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
And then on Friday, we're going to kind of round the year out on the broadcast talking about the conclusion of this year, but the beginning of the new year. And we're not going to go into a bunch of New Year's resolutions or anything like that. But we want to talk about, as we've talked about being restored, as we've talked about getting into spiritual shape, as we will have talked about by Friday about being restored, and then on Friday, what that means and how we can walk that out in the coming
looking
year.
Forward. Amen.
Looking forward.
Do not live your life looking in the rearview mirror.
That's right. That's right. And there are a couple of topics that we want to cover in there. And one of those is going to be forgetting. And then the other is going to be moving forward, as we've talked about.
Striving.
And there's a couple of things that we have to put behind us that we have to forget. We can't let anything become rooted in bitterness, because that will eat your soul.
It will. And you think about God, and when he talks about forgiving us of our sins, if he's willing, after we've repented, to totally forget like it never happened,
right,
we should do the same.
Not only is he willing to forget, we don't want to get into this today.
This is
going to be for Friday.
Pull it back.
That was a good call. You caught that quick.
I did. Because if we go down this road, we won't have time to talk about shape. However, as Bert mentioned first thing, our phone calls aren't open today. We won't be taking any calls. However, you can always send your questions to word@afr.net. Right now, let's jump into shape.
That's good.
I wish I could do that.
That was good. Jump into shape.
Jump into shape. And we're going to talk about getting into it and what it means to us as Christians. And Brother Bert, the first part of it is spiritual gifts.
Spiritual gifts are so important. And what you do, though, there's a little bit more emphasis put on spiritual gifts sometimes mm-hmm. than there should be, because people say, well, I don't have that particular gift, so therefore I'm not participating.
Right.
The Bible does not teach that. The Bible does teach that God has gifted us. In the book of Romans chapter 12, it says that he's given us gifts.
Right.
And matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 12 and following, it says he's given to every Christian a spiritual gift.
Right.
One more thing I want to say, then we'll look at it all together, is I'm not 100% sure that you find all the spiritual gifts that are listed in the Bible. I don't think that is necessarily a limit. In other words, I go, oh, there's a spiritual gift. There's one. Okay, here's what we have a list of 22. There's no more.
Right.
It's 18. You looked at I'm just kidding.
Using that message.
I'm not so sure it is a limited number. So
right.
we're not going to get into that. I mean, we're not even going to discuss the gifts mm-hmm. in individual, sure. but we're looking at them collectively and how they cause you to serve. You're in spiritual shape to serve, just like you get into physical shape to work and to do, you get into spiritual shape to serve.
Amen.
And the three primary spots for those that are students here that are listening, the three primary spots you can get the spiritual gifts for, find them in Scripture, is Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And one of the things when you talk about spiritual gifts, you know, it's spiritual walk, at some point we want to look and see which one's ours, which one's not. You want to pray about it, maybe do a test. You know, they have online tests, you can do all that. However, I think the most important part of the spiritual gifts is learning what yours are not.
There's a lot of truth in that statement right there, because you don't want to try to do something that God's not anointing.
Right.
You don't want to get into that. You don't want to say, well, God has told me to do this when
or you feel some type of obligation based off a outward circumstance.
Yeah.
You
want to
look guilt. At it's called guilt, guys. Guilt. Preachers are great at guilt. We need somebody in the nursery and we need them now.
Yeah. Yes. And if you're not doing this.
Oh, man.
Listen, let me tell you what. I love children, but after they get to about 3 to 25, I'm not your guy.
Not your church guy.
Can hold them, I don't mind changing the diapers
right.
or any of that. But, man, when it gets to the talking back and the disrespect and some of the things.
Well,
that,
I want to ask you something.
And they're not your kids, so you can't really spank
them,
right?
How did you learn that? By
How
trying
did I
it?
Learn that?
Yeah, by trying.
I've got three kids, by the grace of God, that are still alive.
But so, a lot of times,
but no, yes, sir,
the
by,
way
by
we find out is participating.
Yeah.
Check it out and see. You don't necessarily say, oh, I am ready to teach, but you go to a teacher and you say to one of the teachers mm-hmm. that's in the children's department, and you do through the leadership,
right.
you do it properly,
right.
can I help you for a month? And get in there and see if you click or do not click.
That's right.
Find those out for participating. You can take all the tests you want to.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
And I want to tell you, they're shaded no matter what, according to who the person is that is given the test. But get in there and try it.
And the
Holy Spirit can guide you and let you know.
And let me tell you, I have found my wheelhouse to be those between 30 and 60.
And I
really mean that.
Sure.
Because I feel like there I can contribute. I can have a conversation. Let me tell you what. You start messing with some of these silver-haired saints, and they'll let you know.
Yeah.
Hey, brother.
That ain't going to work.
No. And when you feel like, and this is in respect. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I want to honor those folks, and I've taught those classes before, and I've tried to do that to the best of my ability. But, man, you sit in there with literally some silver-haired saints of God, and you want to talk about prayer?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, young whippersnapper.
Yeah.
You don't know anything about prayer because these folks have walked through it.
Amen.
Yeah. They have been through the trials. They understand what that is, and I thank God for them. Now, here's the other part, though. We need to keep those silver-haired saints involved. And I want to talk about that in a minute when we start going down this list. But Bert, would you mind if I read the scripture from Romans 12?
Read it, brother. That's where I wanted to go. Go.
Okay. And I'm in the New American Standard today. And verse 6 says, since we have gifts, notice that, present tense.
We have.
Have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy,
proportion.
Thank you, Wesley.
I got you.
Proportion.
Don't the other way around.
Of his faith. Yeah, of his faith. If service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, liberally. It does say liberality, but we know it really means liberal. And so, and that's a good time to be liberal, by
Amen.
The way, when you're
Amen.
Giving.
You Amen. Don't go home and tell your wife, I love you conservatively.
That's right.
You tell her, I love you liberally. Amen.
He who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Mark that, guys. We want to come back to that. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love.
Amen. Now, that's Romans, right?
That's Romans.
Yes.
And we're in Romans chapter 12, verses 6, and right now we're at verse 10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Mark that.
It is. Listen, he not only gives them, but he also tells us how to operate
Absolutely.
With them. There's no place for haughtiness and pride when it comes to spiritual gifts or the amount of money. There's no room for that in God's kingdom, guys.
Yeah.
And for the pastor to get up, and again, what gets most of the issues are the speaking gifts.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
The speaking gifts, if you're a teacher, a preacher, prophesying, they get a lot of you know, face time.
Mm-hmm.
But I am telling you, after serving as a pastor close to 40 years, give me those servants.
Amen.
Give me those people that work behind the scenes. And I've used this before. The most vital organs in your body are those that are not seen.
Right.
It's called your brain, your heart, your lungs, some others. They're not seen. But what in the world would we do? We'd be dead without them.
That's right.
And I am telling you, you can preach all day. You can sing. You can teach. But I am telling you, if you didn't have those people that are behind the scenes lifting you up, encouraging you,
praying,
it would be, yeah. When I said lift it up.
Yeah, that's what you mean. Yeah.
That's spiritual
that's
talk.
That's it, yeah.
But how vital is that, guys?
It's very important. And, you know, when you think about these things and the spiritual gifts here as we transition, I don't know when we're going to get to the next thing, the heart and the passion, but all these things that we talk about today as it relates to shape, and we walk through them, they all make up who you are as a Christian, and it makes up, you know, your history, what you were able to accomplish, and your testimony.
Yeah, in other words, Jim and I could have the same spiritual gift, but because of the other four things, your heart, your abilities, personalities, and experiences, it makes it completely different.
Right.
You
exactly.
know, so you can have the same gifts in so many small groups or in large groups, but they're all needed because they're different, because nobody has the same experience. Nobody has the same passion as you do.
Exactly.
So it serves well, guys.
Yeah.
So get that spiritual gift. And the best way to do it, go online.
Sure.
But best way, get in there and serve.
Serve.
Right.
Get in there and serve.
Well, folks, you're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio, and we're going to continue to get in shape right after this.
I want you to picture this. Her name is Kayla. She is 17, alone, terrified, and pregnant. Sitting in a clinic, tears blurring, thinking abortion is her only option. Until she was offered a free ultrasound, paid for by a hero just like you. The moment Kayla heard her baby's heartbeat, the decision was made. And today, her little baby boy, Gabriel, is thriving because her preborn walked with Kayla every step of the way. Now, multiply that by 38,000. That's how many babies preborn has helped save just this year. How many mothers preborn has come alongside with practical and spiritual resources to make motherhood possible? But here's the most important thing you will hear today. Their goal is to save 70,000 by the end of the year. And they can't do it without us. Every $28 provides the ultrasound the moment everything changes. Will you be the reason the next Kayla chooses life? The reason Gabriel fulfills his destiny? To donate, dial #250 and say the key word baby. That's #250, baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page, facebook.com/exploringtheword, or email word@afr.net.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. I'm Jim Stanley, sitting in for Dr. Alex McFarland. And because Alex isn't with us, it actually takes two of us to sit in for him. Wesley Wildman is with us this afternoon. And then Brother Bert Harper, of course, whom you are used to being our leader here on Exploring the Word. By the way, if you'd like to find out how Alex can come to your church or come to your town and do a speaking engagement for you, he does fantastic classes on apologetics. But that notwithstanding, he's also an incredible evangelist. As we talk about
spiritual gifts, that's his calling.
When we talk about spiritual gifts, he is an evangelist. Absolutely. He is a preacher. And let me tell you, not only is he that, he is an anointed preacher.
Amen.
Why? Because that brother spends time in prayer and spends time in the Word.
Amen.
I think he has most of the Word memorized at this point. And if not, at least the addresses.
His recall is amazing.
It is.
It's fun working with him, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, it's
great. Because I can mess with him sometimes. I just throw something out there just to see if he knows it. Yeah. He knows it every time.
He does. That's right. He would be a trivia king.
Yes.
Especially if Beach Boys and Beatles.
Yes. Beach Boys and Beatles in the Bible.
That's right. Let me tell you, if he ever goes on Jeopardy, I hope he remembers us who have struggled with him.
Yes.
Yes. He would bankrupt them. However, this afternoon, we're talking about shape, and that means spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, and your experience. And right now, we're going to move to heart.
Amen.
And Brother Bert, you mentioned, and Wesley, you mentioned as well, as we were off air, we were talking about this. And when you find your heart, when you find your passion, when you find something that you want to put your heart into and you want to serve as hard as you can, you may be the person that does the nursery. You may be the person that cuts the grass. You may be the person that sweeps the floor or vacuums. You may be the person who simply goes through the church picking up the bulletins and the different things that have been left on the pews in between services because you want to present the house of the Lord in the best way possible. And so when you think about this, when you think about where your passion is, I like verse 11 here in Romans 12. It says, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, fervent, on fire for it. That's your passion. That's something you want to do. When you find that passion, Bert and Wesley, you guys talked about this, and that's how it helps you find what your spiritual gift may be.
It is service. Honestly, if you are not serving the Lord, you're out of the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do I mean? Those that are physically unable, listen, most of them can pray.
Absolutely.
I know people that they have a phone ministry. They get on the phone. Some are because of technology, internet. Others, letter writing. And that's a lost art. Literally, letter. I'm not talking about emailing. I'm talking about snail mail. I am. And those you keep. I've got those being people sent to me. And so find that area of service with your heart and your passion. It could be something that you do, an age group. It could be something that is in the church, like you said, cleaning the church. I know some ladies, two of them in particular, their passion is the front of the church. Mm-hmm. And I know it's a little bit according to what kind of church it is. But they're in more traditional churches, so they've got the Lord's Supper table at the front,
right.
And they're going to make sure there's fresh flowers there every week.
Amen.
And that is a passion for them, and the Lord is granting that. Now, what happens? Let me give you a caution.
Yeah.
Don't let your passion that you have and others not have it cause you to go into anger.
Right.
That is a caution because it can do. Passions, don't you think, just because you have it, that everybody else has it.
And you don't want your passion to become an obsession.
Great words.
Yes.
But go ahead.
Oh, no, you finished that. I had something else I was going to add.
All right, because if you let your passion become your obsession, then it leads to exactly what Brother Bert just said. You are so obsessed. You are so focused on on the flowers at the front of the church. You're so focused about getting the paper up off the floor and being the one that gets the chewing gum out from underneath the songbook holders. That's a real old church right there, Brother Bert, if they still have song. You know what songbooks are, don't you, Wesley?
Yes, I do know what songbooks
Wesley's.
I vaguely remember.
That's right.
I know
well, you know, anyway, yeah. We won't go down that. But I like teasing Wesley sometimes. He's a great sport.
I'm a young whippersnapper.
You are a young, absolutely. And some people still call me a young whippersnapper.
There you go.
It's one of those things
they
that's
don't call me that anymore.
No, sir, you're one of our silver-haired saints.
Yes.
But when it becomes your obsession, when you become so obsessed with it, maybe somebody has a bottle of water in there, and because sometimes folks have to take water into services with them, and they don't get that top screwed on just right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, suddenly you've got a little water on the pew or on the chair, and maybe a little water on the floor. If it has become an obsession, you lose your mind.
Yeah.
And that's not your best Christian witness.
Mm-hmm.
However, I've also been in the churches where I've seen that water spilt and the person come up to clean it and their heart is totally different. Don't worry about that. I'll get that for
mm-hmm.
you. You know, maybe you have a little
makes
one
all
to
the
contend
difference
with.
In the world.
Absolutely. And see, that really is the difference between passion, obsession, and then just an obsessive compulsive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, the one thing I'll add to this this topic of passion and what God in your heart and what God's called you to do is I have the privilege of meeting several of our financial supporters here for AFR and AFA. And I know one person in particular because he texted me this morning, but he has so passionate about prayer that and his prayer list is so detailed that he has AFA and the Wildman family on a list that says are most attacked based off their views.
Yeah.
So he has specific ways in which he prays for us because he's so passionate about that. He's so detailed in what he does. And that's where you want to be. You want to be where God has given you, where you have the most passion, where you can, where you're in a position where it's so selfless of mm-hmm. what you're doing. That's where there's a lot of passion and selflessness.
Amen.
Let me give you some biblical ideas here. In Romans chapter 10, Paul said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Later he'd say, "I would wish myself accursed if Israel could be saved."
Amen.
That was his heart. He was sent. His heart was to go to the Jewish people, and they rejected it. And then God switched it and says, "I want you to be an apostle to the Gentiles." So what God can do with your passion, you make it where it can mm-hmm. be mobile.
Right.
God can change your direction.
And isn't it interesting how God did that? He sent Paul, who would have been the most fervent Jew around.
Pharisee of the Pharisees.
Absolutely. And he sent him to the Gentiles. And then Peter, the one who would take up for the Gentiles, his ministry wound up being to the body of Christ, the Jews, there in Jerusalem and beyond. So think about that.
Amen.
God really can take what is your strongest suit, but isn't it great to know that he can tweak it to what he Amen. Wants it to be?
Mm-hmm. Amen, Jim.
And then it becomes you want to follow God, like we just said here about serving the Lord. And, you know, as we talk about that, Acts 20:19 says, "Serving the Lord with all humility, with tears, with trials, which came upon me through the plots of the Jews."
Yep.
So we want to serve the Lord with all humility, regardless of the trials, regardless of the temptations, regardless of the hard times. That's the thing. And that goes back to it not becoming obsessive and not becoming obsession. You know, when we serve in humility, when we want to seek God first, then we really are to and God, you know what his joy is? For us to worship him, our desire to serve him, and our desire to listen to him.
Amen. Jim. Yeah. One more thing before we go on to the abilities.
Yep.
And this is Old Testament. And I said, "Lord, I want somebody that's kind of obscure that has some of this passion."
Is that why you have me on?
The silver bearded son.
That's right.
It is Isaac. I call him the quiet man. He is interposed between Abraham and Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Abraham, the faith of Abraham, Jacob, the trickster that was changed, and his name was changed to Israel, but the connection is Isaac. You know what his seemed to be his passion was?
What's that? Digging wells.
Yeah.
Digging well. Look at it and see. In Genesis chapter 29, 17 to 22 and the others, he would go and dig new ones, and he would have the ones that the enemies had filled up, and he would do it. Digging wells. Now, why would I say that? Sometimes your passion may be in the mission area, and we have those that dig wells literally.
Yeah.
They go to some of these third world countries who have no fresh water, and their passion is digging wells. We've worked with them here at AFR on that. So your passion may not be within the walls of the church.
Right.
And some of the greatest
passions. Maybe to start your own ministry.
Exactly, is outside. So anyway, find out what your heart is. What about A?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I threw the ball back to you.
Did you? I missed it.
Yeah,
I was
looking down at my
screen, and I completely missed it.
You were doing something.
I was. That's
you were
right.
serving. You were doing
I
something.
I was doing something. I was actually looking at a scripture to go along with the service part, and in doing so, I do what I always do when I'm too dependent upon technology. Instead of having my paper Bible out, I completely flipped away from the scripture we were in. So,
well,
we
something's not right about this. Our people can't see this because they're obviously listening, but I'm the one with the paper Bible. The young whippersnapper.
That's right.
And the silver-bearded saint is behind the computer with the Bible. Is there something wrong? You see anything
just
wrong with that?
Let me tell you what. When I took my laptop in to teach the men's Sunday school class, they were kind of worried about me.
Sure, sure.
You know, and so I was really glad when I got an iPad and could take it up on the platform.
They can't see it.
But let me tell you, it only took one mistake on that
to
make sure every time after that, I did have my physical Bible, and I had my outline written down on paper. Because here's the thing. You don't charge your technology. And I think there's a spiritual lesson in this, okay? So if you're not plugged into God, you lose your ability to serve in any way. All right?
Amen.
Do you like that?
I do.
That was all free of charge there, boys.
First time I use that, I'll give you credit.
That's right. After that, it's yours.
Amen.
But, you know, when we look about that, and then in Romans, there in the 12th verse of the 12th chapter, it says, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, and let my eyes catch up with my screen, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. All right, notice there, this is your gifts in action.
Amen.
All right, these are your abilities put to the test. And when you think about that, when you are rejoicing in hope, what does that do? You know, you then know that goes back to being plugged into God,
and it's catching too. Let me share with you, rejoicing in joy is catching. It's contagious.
It is.
So serving the Lord with gladness, you know, that's
right.
A verse and a song, you know, it is contagious.
It really is.
It draws others to you and draws others to the task.
And, you know, I think that's one of the reasons that we have to remember worship doesn't end when the song leader sits down.
Mm.
All right? The announcements are part of worship. The offering is part of worship.
Amen.
The preaching of the word is part of worship. Worship begins in the heart. And I love the way that we express it through song. I mean, it can be standing on the promises, or it can be it as well with my soul when you look at the hymns of yesterday. It can be some of the songs from Chris Tomlin, who has done a great job. You think about Jesus Messiah, you know, and you move into that worship. There are things to be found in the standards, the hymns of the church, and there are things to be found in what we call the worship choruses. Are the new songs. Look at Keith and Kristen Getty, modern-day hymn writers.
Amen.
They take it back and they root that hope and rejoicing on the Word of God.
Amen. And if you cut one of those out, you're cutting out some of the great truths of the Word of God.
Absolutely.
Abilities. Let me give you this.
Okay.
I love this in the Old Testament. You know,
it's free of charge, right?
Yes, it is. You know, when they were building the tabernacle.
Right.
Listen to this. It's in Exodus chapter 31. Verse 2, see, I have called by name Beelzebul, the son of Uri, the son of of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all manner of workmanship. Now listen to verse 4, to design artistic works, to working gold and silver and bronze and cutting jewels for setting and carving wood and to work in all manner of workmanship abilities. Moses had gotten the information, but guess what he couldn't do with information? He could not build those things.
Exactly.
Do y'all see how this works together?
Amen.
It works together with the body of Christ. You remember when we've been talking about the spiritual gifts and everyone? It says it is many members, but what? One body.
Right.
And just as this spiritual shape works into it, it all works together. It also complements others, guys.
Yeah, because if you look at Moses, he had other things. He had, you know, the gift of administration and other gifts, but he didn't have that ability to do that particular thing.
Spread it out. And you can look all through the book of Exodus and see that ability. But you also see it in the New Testament. He was a tent maker, you know. You had fishermen, and you had every one of them, and many of them had to become bivocational at certain times, quote. And use
right.
So your abilities, God uses your abilities. If you're a person of numbers, we call it, you know, and you're an accountant, if whatever it is, God can use those abilities. But what was the secret, guys? It says the Spirit of the Lord coming upon him.
Amen.
You don't want to get proud of your abilities. You need to let the Holy Spirit guide you.
It's interesting you said that, because in Galatians 5:16, we see that, as my technology fails me again, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh.
Amen.
So when we look at that as a combination of our abilities, it has to be tied together with what we do in the Lord. And if it's not done in the Lord, this goes back to talking about anointing earlier. If it's not done in the Lord, then it's done for naught. Folks, you're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. We're going to continue to get in shape right after this.
It's so easy to politicize abortion. But the reality is, there's a precious life at stake, and that little life doesn't have a voice. All that little life has is a heartbeat, and it can be heard as early as 5 weeks on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is a voice for the little ones.
They do an ultrasound, and that's when everything changed. Because when I saw my baby, and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
Preborn Network of Clinics offers free ultrasounds to women in crisis while showering them with God's love. This powerful combination doubles a baby's chance at life and has helped to rescue over 300,000 babies. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. American Family Radio. American Family Radio.
Let the power of your words dwell here richly, changing the ways that I see. Fill me with otherly wisdom. Plant me deep like a tree.
Thanks for listening this afternoon as we are talking about getting in shape. Spiritual gifts, your heart, your passion, your abilities, your personality and experience. And we are at personality now. And when we do this, when we look at this, as we're looking there in Romans, the 12th chapter, it says, in verse 14 says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation.
Wow.
Now, let's think about, as you unpack personality, what is the hardest thing for us to deal with? And I say us collectively, because we've all dealt with these people from time to time. You think about it. If the personality of someone is to serve, then they have the, and guys, you know me, you know my heart, they have less likely a time of being a horse's tail.
Mm-hmm.
All right? If they're truly looking to serve God in whatever they do. However, do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. So when you think about people's personality, And you think about those that really drive you nuts. It's the people who are so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good. And they put themselves way up here and they say, look at my education. And in a minute, look at my experience, look at all these things. And I'm so much more able to do that than you are. Or at least that's what it comes across as. And so when you see that haughtiness, when you see that pridefulness, when you're treated with condescension, when someone treats you less than you should
be. That's bad personality.
That's a bad person. Exactly. Well done.
Every personality has strengths and weaknesses.
Yes, sir.
When Janie and I do our family revivals and mm-hmm. all the marriage conferences that we do, we use Gary Smalley's lions, otter, golden retriever, and beaver. Okay,
mm-hmm. Explain that a little bit for
us.
Well,
okay. The lion is the person that takes charge. Mm-hmm. They just got that personality. If you get five people together and there's one lion in there, somebody else may be, quote, the chairman, but guess what will happen at the end of it? The lion, not necessarily will take over, but mm-hmm. he will have leadership. The otter is going to have fun no matter what they're going to do. Have you ever watched an otter at the zoo or out in the river? They're going to have fun. They're going to play all day. Otters
and help everybody else kind of have fun.
They're the life of the party. Golden retrievers are just there to please. They want, and I know folks like that. They're just there to please. And then the beaver, he's a workaholic, going to keep everything in line. You got to do it this way or that way. Every one of those has strengths and weaknesses. What is necessary is the spirit-filled personality.
Amen.
Because what he does it, all strengths in every personality can become obnoxious. And that's what you were referring to, Jim.
Yes.
That strength that you have and you use it without the Spirit of God, it can become obnoxious. And every temperament has weaknesses.
That's the word I was looking
obnoxious.
For a minute. Obnoxious.
Every personality has weaknesses, and those weaknesses can cause you to downplay them, look down upon mm-hmm. them. But the Spirit of God makes those strengths real spiritual strengths and makes those weaknesses smoothen them out. Can I give examples of all four temperaments
sure.
in the Bible? One, lion. Paul was a lion.
Yeah.
Paul was a lion. When it was time for Mark to go, he said to Barnabas, who Barnabas was a golden retriever, said, no, I'm not taking him. He was a lion. He was in charge. You remember when they left, it was Barnabas and Paul. When they came back, it was Paul and Barnabas.
Right.
Lions just have that ability, even in the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter was probably more like an otter. He was always putting his foot in his mouth. He was the first one to speak. You remember after they got through, he's the one that said, let's go fishing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm tired of sitting around here. Let's have some fun. Let's go fishing.
Yeah.
And then golden retriever, I've already mentioned that Barnabas was, but Abraham is the greatest example. Good old Abraham.
Yeah.
He didn't want to cause any problems with anybody, so he would even lie.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's the weaknesses of a golden retriever. They just to get along, they succumb to a little bit of, they lay down what's priority for them. And then the beaver, Thomas was the beaver, mm-hmm. and David in the Old Testament was a beaver. Who lined everything up for the temple to be built before it was built? David.
And yeah.
He could line up the soldiers. He could line up everything. Thomas was the guy who said, unless I put my hand into his hands and his side, I'll not believe. Beavers have to be proven.
Yeah.
And so each one of those, and we got personalities or a combination of them. And so find out what your personality is. But more important than that is to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And that's what the book of Romans was talking about in
Absolutely.
12, isn't it, guys?
Absolutely. That's me. All right. Well, let me reset here. You're listening to Exploring the Word, and we're doing a pre-record because we're going to be out this week. And so we're looking at spiritual gifts. Is that the right word? It's called shape, and we're trying to get in shape here. It's the spiritual gifts, your heart, abilities, your personality, and experiences. And together, this helps shape who you are in Christ.
Your personality, mm-hmm. you're born with it, but you can cultivate it.
Yeah.
You got to remember that. You're born with it. You're either extrovert or introvert, and you can see it early on, guys, in kids, mm-hmm. in children. You can see it. And in a marriage, since Janie and I do that, I just got to pop in here. Two lions married, you need the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
right.
Amen.
You catch what I'm saying? The personalities. Let me make one thing, and it's good that they're different. And just like the spiritual gifts even though you may have the same spiritual gift, all the other things makes it different.
Mm-hmm.
Your personality may be the same as someone, but because your experience and your abilities and your passion, it causes it to be different.
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking. The last thing we'll talk about this afternoon is experience. And the experience part certainly can grow the other four that we mentioned about mm-hmm. earlier, because it's through experiences that we can really empathize or sympathize or really get the feeling for what someone's going through or what we're going through. And we have an opportunity to learn a lot. And as in difficult times also gives us an opportunity to trust the Lord even more than we would have otherwise. So experiences are huge in shaping who we are.
This is good on this radio broadcast day. Jim, you've been in radio for many years.
Many years.
Okay.
Wesley, how old are you?
I'm 28.
I have been in radio longer than our young brother has been alive.
I came on board 6 years ago. I have some experience due to programs, exploring missions, as well as exploring the Word. So I've grown in that. Wesley, we've asked him to come along and help us on exploring the Word quite often, and he gets to be on one or two every once in a while. But here, we're talking about experience. Mm-hmm. So when I'm doing the program with Jim, my automatic position is I want Jim to become the driver of this program because of experience. Because if anything happens, he'll know, okay, this is what we do.
Right.
And I remember the first 3 or 4 months when, quote, I'd been trained after 2 weeks
right.
of being a host. And I was coming, man, you talking about my prayer life
increasing.
It did greatly.
Sure.
But experience does help you. And you cannot replace experience. One thing we need to know is the difference
That's
in
right.
wisdom and experience.
That's right.
Wisdom is what God gives. Wisdom lets you make decisions based upon what you've seen in others. Experience helps you make the decision on what you have experienced yourself.
That's Amen. True. And let me say this, and I'm not blowing smoke here. I'm not being false in what I'm about to say. But see, that's something that Wesley has, even at his age, is he's getting godly wisdom. He has some great stuff to share. And the reason he does that is because he's been rooted in the Scripture. And not only has he been raised in the way that he should be, thinking about Proverbs, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. Because I've watched this young man grow up here at the ministry. And I say that with sometimes envy. You know, I wish my kids had been as rooted as you've been. They've been shown the way, but then they've made choices that aren't always good. But the reason I say that is because you are rooted in Scripture. I've seen you. You even talked about this during your time at Mississippi State
mm-hmm.
and how important it was to you there when you were walking through the trials of being a young person at
college. Yeah.
Yeah, and all the temptations that came along with that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you persevered and you overcame by the blood of the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
So you've gained experience there that most kids kick to the curb.
Yes.
And so when we talk about wisdom and experience, sometimes it's good for those that have the experience to go back and see it through the eyes of wisdom.
You got it.
Especially youth, and don't take this the wrong way, especially youthful wisdom. Because Wesley, you're going to reach people mm-hmm. that I'm never going to be able to talk to.
Right.
That's the reason we started Engage.
Yes, sir.
Man, we knew we were not reaching a demographic.
That's right.
And that was on many people's mm-hmm. hearts before we started. But Wesley and some others, they came
TJ,
along.
Teddy
TJ,
James,
they said,
Jordan.
And they've done it. And now they have the radio program Engage on the
They do.
Weekend.
And not only is he interested in getting to millennials, he's also looking to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
How do we reach Generation Z?
Yeah.
You know, and so anyway, all of this comes from experience. The round table that we have here, just of the three folks, and then we look at the experience and wisdom combined that Alex has. And, you know, that it exudes. But here's the thing. Wesley's never going to come up and he's never going to say, you've got to listen to me. He
right.
doesn't do that. That's not his nature. That's not what he's been called to be. If I hear Wesley with an angry voice, something has happened. And during the time that he's been on staff, I've heard that twice.
Mm.
And both times, it was the anger of righteous indignation.
Amen.
Because someone was attacking the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And
someone,
God doesn't waste that. Let's
nope.
get some scripture to it. And I'm going to throw it out, the one that everybody uses, but it's good. Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good. Really, they don't. God works all things
together.
That's right.
Your experiences that we've had, put God in the middle of it, good or bad, mm-hmm. and see what he does, and he will guide you. And notice it says, he will, we know he works all things to good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew. He also predestined to do what, guys? To be conformed to the image of God.
Amen.
Our experiences, every one of them, good and bad, difficult and hard, easy and pleasant, every one of them should conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate goal. Our experiences should make us more like Jesus.
Absolutely. I think about growing up, and I was an athlete, so I played several sports. Well, I had several good coaches growing up. That there was a guy by the name of Richard Hill, and he coached me in Little League Baseball for several years, from the time I could swing a bat till I went to high school. There's a bunch of us he coached regularly. And I was really advanced in the sport of baseball for my age and the position I played. So I was really hard on myself when I made a mistake. Well, he often used me as an example. Hey, do this, do like Wesley. Well, I remember making a mistake in a game before, and I never made a mistake. Well, I just beat myself up, and it ruined the rest of my year. I mean, I just was like,
yeah.
And I remember about 10 games later, I was playing terrible, and he came up to me. He said, Wesley, did you really think you'd never make a mistake? And I thought for a second, well, for me, I did.
That was my goal,
yeah. And he said, Wesley, it's not about the mistakes. Remember, I'm a 10-year-old, 12-year-old boy. He said, yeah. Wesley, it's not about the mistakes that you make. It's about how you respond to the mistakes.
That's right.
And it still gives me chill bumps today thinking about that, because we talk about these experiences, and we talked about, and I appreciate the kind words you said about me on the other side of my experiences, but to take you back, there were experiences and trials and difficulties that perseverance had to overcome to get to, you know, where I am today.
So absolutely.
There were those times. And so experiences and how we respond to Amen. The circumstances that we're in really help shape who we are.
Let me give one more passage, and then, Jim, take it away. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 tells us what we're to do with those bad experiences, because what Richard did for you was comfort you. Mm. Listen to this. Chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, all mercies, and God of all comfort. Now listen, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble.
Amen.
The experiences should not just be our experiences. It should be experiences where we learn what God does and we share it. That's the whole idea, guys.
Amen. Amen. Colossians 1:27 says, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's experience, fellas. I want to look back at Romans 12 in verse 13, and I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible. But it says, contribute to the needs of God's people, sharing in the necessities of the saints. Pursue the practice of hospitality. Guys, let me tell you something. You want to know if you're in the will of the Lord? You want to know if you're serving the way you should be serving? Notice that it says, pursue or practice hospitality,
yes.
is what the
yes.
King James says. All right? Be the person that goes and greets that stranger.
Mm.
Be the person that goes and tells that homeless guy it's okay to sit on the front row. Not ask him to move to the back.
Mm-hmm.
Be that, because you want them there. Be that guy that goes and greets the homosexual and says, hey, man, welcome to church. Amen. Or, hey, young lady, yeah. welcome to church. Just want you to know God loves you,
mm-hmm.
because he does.
He does.
The same Christ that died on the cross for Bert Harper, for Wesley Wildman,
Amen.
For Jim Stanley, died for the sinner.
And we better have that heart.
Absolutely.
Go. So we're asking folks to get in shape. Now, how can they do it? Let me share with you three things you do. You stay in the Word of God, you serve the Lord, and you surround yourself with people
right.
that can contribute to your life.
Amen.
That will, and I'm going to use the word, whip you into shape.
Right.
Spiritual shape. Yep. Spiritual gifts. Heart, abilities, personalities, experiences.
Folks, reach out to us on Exploring the Word through word@afr.net. and to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Join us tomorrow as we continue exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.